You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. It is September 15th, 2019. It's currently 10:53 on the East Coast, excuse me. We just wrapped up a WWE pay-per-view titled Clash of Champions.
Where every single championship was on the line.
Yes, every single title was on the line. So, you know, this is our first analysis show. This is the first time we've ever done an instant analysis, you know, with the Half Right Pod. Makia, what did you think of tonight's show? I'm joined by my co-host, of course, the brains behind the Half Right Podcast, my sister, Lakia. So, what did you think of tonight's show, Lakia?
Well, Alfonso, I thought that the show was good. There were aspects of it where, you know, I would have liked certain matches to have been later in the show, which we'll get to as we go match by match. But with this being our first instant analysis show, we're able to, you know, just go through the matches and just talk shit about what we thought about it. So I like that more than grading. We'll do that for the big shows, you know, like the Survivor Series. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would just like to say that my predictions, well, our predictions were spot on. I mean, spot on. The only one that was off the rails a little bit was the WWE Championship match. And
I picked Kofi.
Spoiler, Kofi did retain. I was going with the Legacy 2.0 route, holding all the gold.
You were right. You were right on the tag team. You were right on the
prediction, right?
Yes, 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 yes. You were right on the tag team.
I mean, overall, our predictions, also minus the Raw Women's Championship, but Sasha technically
did win.
We're gonna get to all that. So let's start off with the pre-show. I did not watch the first part of the pre-show. I really never do. The kickoff show, whatever they call it. But it was the Cruiserweight Championship match. Drew Gulak did retain the title. All right, let's move on. I was very, very shocked to see AJ Styles in the kickoff show. The United States Championship match was in the kickoff show. I did text you about that one. That's when I turned on the show. That was about 6:45. And he went against Cedric Alexander. And the match overall was decent. But I give that one, it was decent. AJ Styles did retain. Now, AJ Styles, of course, he came out with the Good Brothers because they're the OC. So Cedric Alexander did get his ass kicked a little bit there. So the hometown boy, I didn't expect him to win overall. We did pick AJ Styles, but I also was not expecting to see AJ Styles in the kickoff show. That was a shocker.
Yeah, I think it was a shocker too, but I kind of could understand their booking decision because it's not like this is a big pay-per-view. Like a big pay-per-view, AJ's always going to be on the main card. I think like AJ Styles fighting Cedric for the U.S. title, right? Mm-hmm. Fighting him on the kickoff show, I believe, helped elevate the kickoff show. And it was a good match. You know, those two in the ring, mm-hmm. good match. You get what I'm saying? But like, I feel like having somebody of AJ Styles' caliber on the pre-show makes us want to tune into the pre-show. Because as you texted me, you were like, AJ Styles on the pre-show, what the fuck? Like, that's like a lot of people's reaction. You get what I'm saying? And it makes us want to tune in earlier to the pre-show because there's people who probably missed AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander because they thought it was going to be a main card match, but it was on the pre-show. So now next time they'll maybe tune in. You get what I'm saying? I feel like putting names like AJ Styles on the pre-show makes the pre-show bigger. You get what I'm saying? Because there's been a lot of times and years where the match of the night actually occurred on the pre-show. Like, so I feel like sometimes it's good, not all the time, but sometimes it's good to have you know, names like AJ Styles on the pre-show, especially like a B plus, like a B plus pay-per-view like this was, like, it's not one of the big, highly hyped up pay-per-views, mm-hmm. and you put Styles on the pre-show, I think it was a good decision.
Okay, so leading into that one, point taken. And also, to add on to what you said, having it be right before the show was a good warm-up. Now, leading into the main card, they hyped up the match that was going to be first. I kind of just like to hear the music drop. But if you notice, what they're doing now is like commercials within commercials. And I don't need that shit. Just drop the music and let me know what's going to happen. Like Jonathan Coachman showing when they pan to Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman backstage getting ready for the daggone tag team championship match, which the Raw tag team championship match, which started the show. But then having Coachman saying, oh yeah, it's gonna start next. And then it's like they have, you know, that little package that they do leading into the show of what has happened, and they play the music of what's either on WWE Network or what's coming in the fall. I don't need that shit. Just drop the music and let me, like, I can assume, I know the match. You've been building up to it for weeks now. I know who's gonna come out. I don't need the, and even what they do with the Street Profits on Monday Night Raw, I don't need the commercials within commercials. I just don't need it. But anyway, the Raw Tag Team Championship match kicked off the show, and it was Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler defeating the champs of Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman.
We both predicted.
We knew that was going to happen.
You know what? Bobby Roode, a lot of people don't realize this, that his run and Impact, formerly known as TNA, his run with Beer Money, and I believe he was in a tag team before that. I think it was something. I'm not 100% sure. I was young. I was really early into my watching wrestling stage. But I know, like, Bobby Roode really cut his teeth as a tag team wrestler.
And it's interesting that you say that, because Corey Graves said the same thing. He didn't mention any promotion, but he did say that a heavy part of his career was in tag team wrestling.
Beer Money, in my opinion, is a top 20. I think if you list tag teams, Beer Money is one of the greatest tag teams in professional wrestling history. I'm a new age wrestling fan, so some of the older school wrestling fans, they may feel disrespected, but I'm talking about like new generation of things that I've seen. I'm going from like 2005 and 6, whatever, until now, and the period in which Beer Money, you know, kind of was a big part of tag team wrestling. They're one of the greatest tag teams one of the best tag teams, most entertaining tag teams that I've ever seen. And every time I've seen Roode in the tag team, you know, I've liked it. I mean, him and Gable was kind of cheesy to me because, you know, it just never really worked for me. But I think him and Ziggler have the potential to really make those belts mean something again. If they could really turn them into a true tag team. You get what I'm saying?
But you want to know why, like, this one's going to work better than Gable is because Bobby Roode is naturally a heel. There's some characters where you try to have them play defense, but Robert Roode is a heel. Dolph Ziggler is a heel.
Dolph's a heel. Dolph is one of those guys. I know you say he's a heel, right? But I feel like Dolph is one of those guys. Dolph can play any role. Like, I feel like he could be heel or face, but just like you said, he's a better heel.
He's a better heel, just like Seth Rollins can be heel or face, but Seth, to me, was a better heel.
Yes, 100%, 100%. I agree with you.
Just like when they tried to turn Dean into a heel, Dean is a better face.
Yes. Dean Ambrose.
But I mean, if you want to talk about someone that can play both roles, there's nobody that does it better than Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Hands down. So we both chose Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler to take over Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman. Now, after that match, they had, I believe it was like Charlie backstage asking Braun, how do you feel about losing the title? I didn't lose the title. Seth lost the title because Seth got pinned. Blah, 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 blah. And then it went on to the SmackDown Women's Championship. And this is one we got to talk about. Bayley, the champ, defeated Charlotte. I tweeted that I wanted Bayley to win. We all know that Bayley had her heel turn. She's aligned with her best friend, Sasha. If you guys have not seen Sasha Banks' WWE Chronicle, go watch it. It is out of all of the ones that they've done, I know I talked about Charlotte's, but Sasha's a little bit different because she talks about mental health and how depressed she was at work, going to work. It's kind of what Dean was talking about, Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, when he left WWE and he was on the Chris Jericho podcast. Go check out our previous episode for that. But it's kind of like the same thing, how she was so miserable going to work and how she had to go find herself. And it also ties into the whole character thing, how you're so wrapped in your character and people do not see you outside of that character. So she talked a lot about that. Hers was really, really good. So I recommend checking that out.
I actually have not had the opportunity to check it out, but we all know I love Sasha Banks.
I think it just dropped yesterday.
Yes, I didn't even know it was coming out. Yeah, I look on Twitter last night, and I see WWE Chronicle trending, and I'm like, this is about Sasha. And I'm like, I got to watch it. So after we wrap up this podcast, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it and get my thoughts on it when we hit y'all back on Wednesday.
They actually are playing it right now. But when you have the WWE Network, you can watch it at your leisure at any time.
Yeah, stream on demand.
But Bayley versus Charlotte, the match was not that long. And it ended with Bayley slamming Charlotte's face into an exposed turnbuckle and rolling her up for the pin. And
heel move.
She did not just hit a heel move. She booked it out of the ring. She was zoom, gone, like ghost. She said, give me my title and I'm out of here. Like, that was such a Ric Flair move. And if you're going to beat the dirtiest player in the game, his daughter, with a move that her father, you know, a skill set that her father made famous. I mean, come on. Charlotte was like, okay, this is cute, but I liked it. I like that Bayley beat her. I don't care if she beat her clean or dirty for that matter, but because she's a heel, I like how it was a dirty finish. Keep it like that. Keep her being aggressive during the weekly matches and then during pay-per-views. I like the cheap shot.
I mean, personally, you know, I expected more, a longer match from these two. We know what they're capable of. But, you know, I had a fit. I thought Bayley needs to beat someone like Charlotte clean. But I also, you know, after seeing, you know, the ending of this match and, you know, the ending of Becky and Sasha, we clearly see that these stories are far from over. So I understand why they went the route that they went. It's a B pay-per-view, which I feel like, which is why people aren't really excited. You get what I'm saying? People aren't really excited about pay-per-views like this because, I mean, there was the excitement coming into this pay-per-view was about the four horsewomen. And I feel like a lot on these B pay-per-views, they don't really complete stories. You get what I'm saying? And I feel like pay-per-views are the place where stories should be completed. And if you're not going to complete stories on pay-per-views, all right, have less pay-per-views. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like pay-per-views are the place where I go to see stories move forward. And I don't really think that they did. They really, like, they could have had Charlotte. They could have had Bayley beat Charlotte on an episode of SmackDown in this cheap way. Like, you get what I'm saying? You don't need a pay-per-view every month. But you know how much money it brings, I guess, to the WWE Network. And I don't know how ticket sales are going or stuff like that. But it's obviously beneficial to WWE to do a pay-per-view every month. But I just feel like when you give us finishes like this, is it really necessary?
I feel like with what you're saying, you have a point. But maybe with them having the pay-per-views every single month, with this draft that they have in place, maybe they'll go back to like a definitive brand split. And it'll be maybe just cross-brand on the big pay-per-views like Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble. Maybe it'll just be like that. Because I feel like if you split it up a little bit more, it wouldn't be just, you know, like these mid-card pay-per-views that we talk about. I think it would have more hype around it because the SmackDown superstars would be the SmackDown superstars. And I feel like they could still fill that 3.5 hours, because that's really what it is. No pay-per-view is going to 11 o'clock. I don't even think SummerSlam didn't go to 11 o'clock. No, It stopped at 10:30. So, I mean, maybe they're cutting off these half hours to make up for the time that they ran over on WrestleMania. I'm just going to tell myself that. But anyway, I think that if they go back to this definitive brand split, since they did announce that they are going to be having the draft on SmackDown October 11th, followed by the rest of the draft the day before my birthday, October 14th on Monday Night Raw. So stay tuned for that, guys, because we're going to do our own draft, which should be interesting.
Mock draft.
We're going to do a mock draft. And yeah, but I think that having that draft in place and putting so much hype around it, that they need to go back to a definitive split. And the definitive split will make it so that they can finish these storylines at pay-per-views like you're talking about. But also, you'll get to give these superstars on SmackDown, that's a two-hour show, you'll be able to build these storylines interchangeably from week to week and have more people getting their shine on the show. And not just keep seeing the same people sucked into 3.5 hours on the pay-per-view. That's my thoughts. Now we're going to move on to, do you have anything else on Bayley and Charlotte?
Yeah, I pretty much covered it all, you know. The story was moved forward. This isn't the end. And, you know, their best, I feel like, is yet to come in this story.
I kind of wanted this one to be over, though, but it's Charlotte. Yeah. She's not disappearing out of the title picture.
Yes, it's Charlotte, the greatest female wrestler of all
time. I'm glad she didn't get 10, though. I will say that, and I'm glad that Bayley won. I don't care how she won, but I'm glad that she won.
Yes. I'm also glad that we were right. You know, it makes us look like we're smart wrestling fans who know what we're talking about. So that's always dope.
Now moving on to another match we were right. Well, I was right about the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Revival defeated the New Day during the kickoff show. They were talking to Kofi and Big E, and they were like, you know, Xavier Woods got hurt. What's happening? And then here comes Xavier Woods saying, oh, Charlie, the Revival thought they took me out, but I'm here. We're here. We're competing. Titles on the line. He came out to the ring with his knee brace on, and yeah, it just didn't go well. They took out Big E, and then they ended up just torturing Xavier, attacking his knee, and then Dawson put him in a inverted figure four leg lock. And yeah, it just didn't end well. They could have ended the match so much sooner than they did, but they dragged it out and tortured him a little bit more. So the Revival ended up beating the New Day. How do you feel about that? Where does the New Day go from here?
Pretty hard to say. I mean, you think we're going towards a New Day split? They took the tag titles off of them. I think it is, like, in the story, in the way pro wrestling is, the movie that pro wrestling is, I think that the only way to take the belt off of Kofi is it has to be Big E. Mm-hmm. It has to be. Like, the storyline is too perfect, and I feel like Big E is a... When you turn on wrestling, Big E looks like a professional wrestler. You get what I'm saying? He's one of the big guys that Vince likes. You get what I'm saying? He likes guys built like that. Then you look at Kofi Kingston, who's been so relatable. His story is so great. I feel like when's the last time we can say we saw two black men, two African-American men, feud over the WWE title? Have we ever seen it?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. But here's my issue with that. Of course, politically, that would probably never happen. Number one. Number two, how would you book that? How would you have that happen? And number three, where does Xavier Woods stand? So go back to my first question. How would you execute having Big E turn on Kofi?
Let me think about that for a second, because I have a couple of scenarios, a couple of ways it can go. I think he needs to beat Randy. Randy and him might fight again. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I'm doing it again, I'd probably book him and Randy to fight again, even though I don't think they should fight again. I don't know what's next in that story. That's one of the things. Like, out of all the stories, we kind of know where stuff is going next. But this one with Kofi, we're like, if he doesn't fight Randy again, who is he going to fight? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So I'd have him beat Randy again. And after a match, I'd just have Big E beat the hell out of Xavier and then beat the hell out of Kofi. Like, have him beat up both of his brothers, and then I'd have him destroy Kofi to become the new WWE champion. Like, that would be a star-making moment for Big E. Mm-hmm. Like, you get what I'm saying? That would be a star-making moment. Who better to take the title off of Kofi than his real-life brother? You get what I'm saying? The man who helped. Like, there's that story is so easy to tell. Big E and Xavier are the ones who won a gauntlet to get Kofi his title shot at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Big E and Kofi, as it's been said on multiple occasions, actually came up with the New Day idea and went to go get Kofi and had to get him, ask him to be a part of it. You get what I'm saying? So it's kind of like this whole thing would come full circle. Like,
so when did y'all leave Xavier?
I think it's kind of like remember when the Shield broke up a couple years ago and Dean and Seth were feuding. Dean and Seth were feuding and Roman was kind of like doing his own thing, just, you know, not really part of their feud anymore. He was just, you know, he had a match with Orton that year at SummerSlam and he ended up fighting Seth, but it wasn't like right away. You get what I'm saying?
I don't think you can compare the two.
You really can't because you're right. But what my moral of the story is, I think Xavier is great. I think he's amazing. And he should be part of the story when it comes to Kofi and Big E. But I don't really feel like, you get what I'm saying? I don't really care to see what he does. Like, you get what I'm saying? When it comes to the context of that story, I think Xavier should go out on his own, win a mid-card title, while Big E and Kofi are feuding. You get what I'm saying? Because the feud shouldn't be three men, because there's obviously going to be two heels or two baby faces. You get what I'm saying? Like, the dynamic is going to be, you get what I'm saying? Like, unless you have Big E and Xavier Woods both turn on Kofi, which I don't, you get what I'm saying?
I
which
just really feel makes like no sense. Xavier, the only thing that I have with this whole New Day breaking up is because Vince has made so much damn money over this power of positivity. I don't see, you know, once Vince gets his claws on something, he don't like to let it go. So yes. At first, nobody was rolling with the New Day. You know what I'm saying? But now, you know, once they got their buzz and the bootios, it was like a joke. But I feel like Kofi having that title, that they could still, you know, carry this on. And I don't think that
I don't think it's time for them to break up yet. I'm saying down the road.
I like that since WrestleMania, that aside from Becky, Kofi's the only one holding the title.
And Kofi, if you really want to be real, Kofi's, I feel like he's been better booked than Becky. Like, when you put it in the, like, when you put down what's really happening, better storytelling and stuff like that, Kofi's been more protected, in my opinion.
He's also had the WWE Championship, and we already know the respect level of women in wrestling. So, I mean, that's a given, too.
They may have been at WrestleMania this year. I'm sick of your argument that women are not respected.
Hold up. I'm talking about, this is the WWE Championship. This is not the Women's Championship that just came into the fold that's long overdue. Of course, yeah, there was the Women's Championship, but then it was the Divas, and you know what I'm saying? Like, the WWE Championship is a title, no matter who's holding it, it needs to be protected. It needs to be booked right. This is your namesake of the company. It shouldn't be no other way. It shouldn't be any other way. The Intercontinental U.S. Championship, the Universal Championship, which I still think is stupid, but when you have the WWE Championship, the title is, you are the face of the company. Like, there's no way that you should not be booked right. Because then that makes WWE look stupid in general. You got to put more time into that.
Yeah, you're right.
There's always going to be more time. But I don't see the New Day splitting up. I do see them. I think that Xavier, of course, needs to heal up a little bit. But I think that this feud that they have with the Revival, that it should keep going.
So what do you think is next for Kofi?
I don't think that the feud with Orton is necessarily over. And
yeah, I agree.
I think that now that Kofi has got that, I beat you clean, I'm not stupid, they can let that stupid shit go. And, you know, now they can take the rivalry to a different spot and not talk about the 11 years. And then Randy's like, you never beat me. And then at the last pay-per-view, we were upset because Kofi lost his temper. I know we spent a lot of time on this SmackDown Tag Team Championship and rolled over into Kofi's match with Randy. But anyway, it all connects people. But I think that there's still more, they can do more with the storyline now that they got that win out the way. It's kind of like with Bayley. Now that she beat Charlotte, regardless of how she did it, now they can push the envelope a little bit more because it's like, I'm not in a space where I haven't beat you. I have. So let's see what else we can do. That's my take. Moving on to the Women's Tag Team Championship. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated Fire and Desire. It was interesting. One thing I didn't like about this match was that the 24/7 championship happened to come in and do a little bullshit in between. But Alexa tried to pin R-Truth. She didn't get it, though, but she tried. And that's it. What do you think is next for the Women's Tag Team Championship? Like, with the draft that's coming, what other... We already talked about some tag teams that we'd like to see enter into this, but what do you think is next? Do you think this is going to be defended weekly? Is it going to be defended on both shows? Do you think that they're just going to...
I feel like those the women's tag belts are going to float. I feel like we might even see them show up in NXT. You get what I'm saying? Now that NXT is on TV. I think now that, you know, the brand split is being definitive, it'll be a show that, you know, Alexa and Nikki are going to belong to. Mm-hmm. But since they're the champions, I believe they'll float as they should, because you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they're really starting to help establish that belt. I'm not saying this match was incredible, which it wasn't. You get what I'm saying? But it's like, I really seriously need to get a shirt that says, you get what I'm saying, because I'm always saying that. But anyway, I think Alexa and Nikki are helping elevate those belts. Mainly Alexa, because we know how Vince feels about her. As we said on the last show, like, Alexa's putting those belts on TV. They mean something again, like they did when they were on Bayley and Sasha. And I think this is some of the best. Like, Alexa has, she's like, her story is like, I know I talk about her and talk about how she's not this and I don't feel like she's on the level of a four horsewoman. But she's really like, she's reached that status where she makes the title. You get what I'm saying? Like as I said again. But she makes the title. Like, she's the woman that makes the title. Like makes the belt. She elevates the belt.
We know
she elevates
the belt, that the belt is going to be defended. And we're gonna see it on TV every week. We know
holds
the belt. That
yes. In,
period.
Yes, Alexa holding the belt really makes that belt mean something. Like, she really has helped elevate it, and she's elevated Nikki Cross. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when Nikki Cross first came in, remember when they first called her up or something? I feel like she was kind of lost. Her relationship with Alexa has really elevated her to a place where she's on TV weekly, mm-hmm. and that's because of the star power of Alexa. Like, Alexa's a star in this business, as we clearly know. So I'm a fan of what Alexa's been doing with the belts. I'm a fan of what they've been doing with Nikki Cross. And I'm just excited to see where they go with this story. I think the next challenger for Alexa and Nikki, if you want to talk about, like, from in-ring work, that I feel like would make the most sense when it comes to those women, I feel like it's the Kabuki Warriors, the team of Kairi Sane and Asuka, because we've seen Asuka in the ring with with Nikki Cross in NXT. We saw those matches, and we know how good Kairi Sane is. And when you put Alexa in there with somebody who can truly go and is a good worker, I feel like Alexa's at her best. And if you put them in an environment, I feel like, because I really haven't seen the women's tag titles, you know, besides that match at Mania that we see, that we watched, have a really great, great title match. So I feel like that's the two-on-two feud we need to see. I feel like Alexa and Nikki versus the Kabuki Warriors, they're going to bring out the best in each other. And I think that's the match that needs to be made next.
My only thing with the Kabuki Warriors, aside from their name, is that I think that they need to figure out if Paige is going to be a part of that whole thing. What's going on with that? Is she still?
I believe Paige got surgery on her neck or something. She had
another surgery on her neck. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that's probably why she's been, you know, out. But this is another thing. I think Paige, when it comes to that rivalry, Paige is an asset to the Kabuki Warriors because Paige is very good on the mic. And I feel like she's going to stay with them. She needs to stay with them.
I think that she needs to stay with them for two reasons. One, because there's clearly a language barrier there.
Yes.
And number two, I think that Kairi Sane and Asuka as heels with Paige as a heel, that would be something.
Yeah. I believe so too. I've always felt like managers are better suited for heel superstars. Like, I've always felt like baby faces with managers never really mixed for me.
Because the baby face doesn't need someone to speak for them. Like, we already love you. We get it. It's like when you have a heel with a manager, it's like you're even 10 times more annoying than you are by yourself. Now you got to talk 100%. You, it's like, oh, come on. Okay, we get it. So I think that if you're talking about throwing the Kabuki Warriors in the mix, I think that it needs to be a heel turn because clearly Alexa and Nikki are more of a face. So they have to go against a heel team. And I think the only way that that would work is that you can't have, you know, the two face and face. It's not going to work. You got to have an edge to it. So I think that they should definitely turn heel if they're going to keep, whether they keep Paige around or not. They should definitely go heel. But I wonder if they're not, you know, showcasing them right now because Paige is still recovering from her injury. I mean, so I wonder if they're still holding back from that, what they're exactly they're going to do. But I don't even see another tag team that's that can actually go after the titles. Who else is there? Where the hell are the Iconics? Where'd they go?
I'm
saying like everybody that's like a tag team is really on the back burner. I think that right now, people that we have not seen in a while, such as Naomi and the Usos, and you said Drew McIntyre is injured. We know that Elias is injured. I think that a lot of people though that we haven't seen in a while, that once this draft rolls around, and, you know, they're going to have to fill this time as efficiently as I'm hoping as efficiently as possible, that we'll see some of the people that we haven't seen in a while come back. But like you said last week, I think that Ember Moon and Naomi teaming up would be amazing.
Yeah, because I feel like with Alexa and Nikki, they have that type of dynamic where they can face a heel team, face team. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think they're pretty much like tweeners. They're in between because we know Alexa's a heel.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, she's the heelish. But Nikki kind of doesn't know what the fuck is going on. So she can rotate her character on any given week. So I think with them, they're real, like, they're great to have because on any given week, you know, they could, you know, face a heel team or a babyface team. Like, so I think that a team like that is really a great asset to have.
That is true. They're like you said, they're in betweeners. So we'll see what happens with the women's tag team division. Moving on to a match that I should have thought, that I thought should have been on the kickoff show, which is the Intercontinental Championship match. Shinsuke Nakamura, the champ, defeated The Miz. If The Miz would have won, he would have became 9-time Intercontinental Champion. I just feel like this storyline between Miz and Shinsuke, it doesn't do anything for me. I feel like the one with AJ and Cedric had a little more time to build, whereas this one with The Miz and Shinsuke was kind of just thrown together, kind of how Bobby Roode and Dolph were thrown together. But anyway, I know why this one made the main card over the WWE, over the U.S. Championship, I should say. But the 40-year thing, the match overall was good. I won't say that the match was bad. There were a lot of moments where the audience was reeled in and thinking that The Miz was going to win. But in the end, Shinsuke won. Shinsuke had his little cape on. There was a point in the match where Sami Zayn was commentating and the commentators were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, he was talking the whole time. And if you've ever been to a live show, you can't hear the commentators. So to be able to hear Sami talking and commentating, whatever he was saying at the moment, it's funny though, because you're listening, when you're watching it, is different than being in person, because it is literally like people going, yeah, ooh, you have to go to a live show to really understand it. But yeah, Shinsuke beat The Miz. And The Miz is someone that can also do heel and face, but I like him better as a heel. And I would just like to see where the Intercontinental Championship goes from here. I wish it would have some more prestige behind it at this point. I just think it has to do with the booking of Shinsuke. I don't know what they're going to do with Sammy. I like that he's the mouthpiece for Shinsuke at the moment. I won't lie, I do like that. But I don't know if there's going to be an opponent down the line that's really going to bring out, you know, the best in Shinsuke and not make it look, because right now him and Sammy together are like a joke. So, your thoughts?
You hit it on the head. Sammy's a joke, period. Sami Zayn is a joke. Sami Zayn needs to take his ass back to NXT. That's one. And turn back to the Sammy we knew and loved. I knew when Sammy turned heel, he was fucked.
He's someone that can't be heel.
He's not a good... I mean, he's done some good shit on the mic, but it's like, come on. Sammy is like that lovable underdog. You get what I'm saying? And him as a heel is like... And I feel like him missing all that time, they had the perfect opportunity to bring him back as a heel. As a face. I mean, the night after WrestleMania, that would have been amazing. But no, what do? They keep him held. They squash him. Now he's Shinsuke's manager. Like, do you think somebody like Sami Zayn, do you think he's happy just being in that manager role? I don't think so. He worked his whole life to get to the WWE to be a wrestler. I mean, he's getting TV time and he's living out his dream. And we can't speak on what he likes or dislikes. But it's just...
I feel like him and Kevin Owens are both in a weird space. You know, they both had these injuries. They both came back from injuries. At one point or another, when they came back, they ended up together. I feel like Sammy is better as a face. Kevin is better as a heel, even though we've seen them both play both roles.
And don't get me wrong, Sammy's not a horrible heel. And KO's actually a good face to me because, you know, he's relatable. But I just feel like, as you said, you listed what they're natural as. And, you know.
I don't. They're going to do. I want to. I don't like. I don't need to see. Let me put it like that. I don't need to see Sammy being his mouthpiece. And mind you, Sammy also came out with a neck brace because of what the Undertaker did to him. It's like, you're so dramatic, but jokey joke, keep it going. Alright, let's move on to the Raw Women's Championship, the match that ended in a disqualification. Becky Lynch is still the champ. And you know what? I'm not surprised that Becky is still the champ for the simple fact that she wasn't going to drop the title to Sasha on a pay-per-view like this.
Yeah.
But also, 2K's not out. She ain't dropping that damn belt yet. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. That didn't factor into my decision
she
either.
She is the face of 2K. There's no way that she's dropping the belt yet. I can actually see her holding the belt well into Survivor Series. Hell, I could see her having one of the longest reigns of the women's champ. I feel like come the draft that she's safe if she's still Raw Women's Champ. That she won't get traded. But I don't see Seth leaving Raw. I don't see, and Becky is not going to be on a different brand than her fiance. So all of that is gonna
I think but if you look at the promotion Fox has been doing for SmackDown, you know the song that is playing.
Oh yeah, true.
The song that is playing when you're watching Sunday football and Fox is really, you know, trying to promote SmackDown coming there. The song is a Becky Lynch song.
I know it's a Becky Lynch song, but I also think that ties back into the fact that Becky is the face of 2K. I think that ties back into it.
I don't think so. I think Becky's going
to
be on SmackDown.
Okay, so Becky goes to SmackDown, then Seth is going to go to SmackDown, and Kofi's going to Raw.
I could also see that happening. If you want to flip the belts, you never know. But I think SmackDown wants Becky. And I think Becky's going to drop the belt before the draft.
Interesting. Well, when does 2K come out?
I believe the end of our... If the 2K comes out definitely after the draft.
Okay.
But I think they're going to have to get the belt off of her before the draft. But you never know. I mean, if she's still Raw Women's Champion, you'll be correct and she won't be going anywhere. But
it's perfect timing, though, because Hell in a Cell, I believe, is the fifth. It's October. It's like the first week. I think it's the sixth, actually. Because the fourth is on a Friday. So if she dropped the belt to Sasha. If she dropped the belt to Sasha at Hell in a Cell. And after the match that they had tonight, which we're going to get to momentarily. Yeah, it's the sixth, so it's perfect timing. She would literally drop the belt right before. And I think if you move Charlotte back to Raw and send her over there to feud with Bayley, that would be interesting. Because Sasha also needs to get over that hump that she's been in with Charlotte as well. And hopefully she'll get a title reign. So getting to the match with Sasha and Becky. This one, like I said, ended in a no disqualification. Charlotte, why am I talking about Charlotte? Because I think that she's going to end up feuding with Sasha down the line. Anyway, so this match started in the ring. Sasha tried to pull an Eddie Guerrero and get a chair and throw it in the ring to take attention away and get the referee's eyes off. And she hit Becky in the stomach with the chair, and she tried to hit a move on her there and pin her. She tried so many bank statements. I mean, Becky tried the armbar so many times. This match went into the crowd after Becky ended up hitting the referee with the chair. And then they ended up in the crowd, outside in the hall, back down into the crowd, back into the ring. Becky ended up hitting Sasha with the chair over and over. So they're even on smacking each other with chairs now. She put her into an armbar on the chair, and that's how the match ended up ultimately ending. And the other referees came out, a trainer came out to check on Sasha's arm. Sasha is doing her best work and laying in the ring hurt. I'm pretty sure her arm did hurt, though. But she's laying there hurt. they disqualified Becky, saying that she hit an official, which she clearly did. And then she said, I don't care, I'm still the champ. And then they drop her music and blah, 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 blah. So how do you feel about this match ending in a no DQ? Are you cool with that? How do you think they would set this up for a Hell in a Cell match? Because I think it's a Hell in a Cell match.
I think so, too. I think you set it up for a Hell in a Cell match by, I don't know, I think that's an easy setup. Maybe a beat down tomorrow night, something like
but
that.
But I also think that having the Hell in a Cell match is making it so there's no disqualifications. There's nothing that can come between us. We're in the cell together. You can bring the chairs. I don't care. Bring whatever it is that you want. You know, Becky being Becky and saying, I'll beat your ass anywhere, anytime kind of situation. So I think that's how it would pan out. It's pretty easy, like you said. It's not hard to segue that into a Hell in a... I think it should be a Hell in a Cell match. I think that it needs to be a Hell in a Cell match. I don't think that match needs to be the main event. Because clearly we don't, since WrestleMania, we're asking for too much, trying to get all these main event matches. But I think that having that set up and to be a Hell in a Cell match, I think overall, that way that they packaged that was really, really good. All right, moving on to the WWE Championship match. We pretty much covered that when we were talking about the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, right?
Yes.
The SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Kofi Kingston beat Randy Orton clean. I'm pretty sure you're okay with that one because you chose Kofi to win. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, good match. We both felt Kofi needed to win. You thought Randy was gonna win, but it was a good match, and it was just like you said, one of your favorite matches on the show. One of my favorite matches on the show.
I mean, CBS gave it a very, very low rating. They gave it a C-. I mean, but I like that it, like, ended. It was, like, a definitive winner between these two because it needed to be.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, then there was something backstage with King Booker and the Street Profits. And moving on, I already talked about how I don't need these commercials within commercials. Then there was one of the first big things of the night, Eric Rowan versus Roman Reigns. This match was an annihilation of Roman Reigns, and every now and then we need that. It was kind of like against Drew McIntyre, how he was getting his ass kicked, and then he ended up prevailing, you know, because Roman is Superman. But anyway, also when he went against Braun Strowman, same kind of situation. But Eric Rowan, the whole thing of this is that Luke Harper is back, y'all.
Yes.
Luke Harper is back. And this just pegs me to wonder if there would ever be a Wyatt family reunion. I think that Eric Rowan and Luke Harper in general, though, they're better together.
You know what I believe? You know who I believe is pulling the strings on these two men?
Who?
This is all going to come back to, like we said, it's going to come back to Daniel Bryan.
Well, yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, the stories come full circle. He used to feud with the Wyatt family, and now
the Wyatt family's in his pocket.
Yes.
It's interesting. It's very, very, very interesting. But what do you think of... What do you think is next? Do you think that Luke Harper and Rowan are, you know, the tag team muscle behind Daniel Bryan? Are they going to end up going and, you know, back to being a tag team such as the Bludgeon Brothers? What do you think?
I think they should go back to being a tag team, preferably not the Bludgeon Brothers, but, you know, this new recreation of what they've become.
Yeah, I feel like they have to change the name. They took the time to repackage Bray and give him the name The Fiend, which I love. So I think that the Bludgeon Brothers, but you know, WWE is also not good with these tag team names. I mean, look at War Raiders and the Kabuki Warriors. I actually tweeted that to somebody when they were talking about if Rowan and Harper get back together, they need to change the name. And it's like, when you think about it, Bludgeon Brothers isn't that bad in comparison to the two names that I just said. So we'll see what happens. Of course, Daniel Bryan is going to get him back up in this some way. Not sure how, but expect to see. Well, Roman already said that this isn't over, Roman. This is far from over. So we'll see what happens. And Roman has no backup, so.
Yeah, no Shield reunion coming this way.
No. Unless he teams with his cousins, the Usos.
Yeah, we could see that, but.
Maybe. I just want them to be together, but I'd want them to, you know, be heels and stuff. I like the Usos being bad guys. It's just the edge they have to them. I don't want them to put the face paint back on. I'm cool. The match that ended it all was the Universal Championship match. Do you have anything else on Rowan and Roman?
Nope. I'm good on that.
All right. Last match was the Universal Championship. Seth versus Braun. Seth the champ beat Braun via pinfall. This match was really, really good. Braun Strowman, okay, he went up to the top rope, almost busted his ass, caught his balance, and leaped onto Seth. I mean, damn near flattened Seth Rollins. Now, did he get the pin? No. But damn, Braun. Braun just amazes me with how fast he is and how agile he is in the ring.
Yes.
He amazes me every time I see him. Braun Strowman to me is someone when he first started to now, he's gotten better over time. And we don't really see him in the title picture like that. But he's also, because he's a big guy, he's always just going to be that. He's a big guy. They also get lost in the sauce from time to time. He might get, you know, like the U.S. championship or the tag team championship as he's had before. But when it comes to the big one, it just doesn't happen, you know?
It's just eluding him.
It's what happens with big guys. But, I mean, Seth Rollins hit a curb stomp once. Braun kicked out, hit the curb stomp twice, Braun kicked out, hit the curb stomp a third time, Braun kicked out. It took him doing the pedigree and a curb stomp to pin Braun. And I think at that point, Braun was just like a little dazed. But yeah, Seth's combos are amazing me because that's how he beat Brock with those multiple curb stomps. So I think his speed in doing that, it really works in his favor. I am okay with Seth winning because, like we said before, Braun wasn't going to win this one. We knew.
Yeah. It sucked. I mean, why put him in this situation if he's not going to win? Braun is just, when you look back on his career, he just is going to be that guy who lost so many big title matches. Like,
it's unfortunate, though.
Very.
It's really unfortunate. But, I mean, Seth won, but then what happened? Everything went black. And who came out? The Fiend. The Fiend was kept telling y'all, see you in hell. And I tweeted that I like the fact that Bray Wyatt's character is not being shoved down our throats. The little videos that they do from week to week is cool, and they're brief. But he's not being shoved down our throats, which I think still makes his character of The Fiend so exciting when it comes out, entertaining. We've only seen him really wrestle, what was it, one match?
Yes.
Since he came back, it was one match. So, yes. I mean, I like them saving him for just pay-per-views. I like that. Now, if he were to become champion, of course, that'd be different. But honestly and truly, his character is the kind of character that could hold the title hostage.
Yes. Yes, because he'll show up on Raws here and there, and he'll show up at pay-per-views to defend it. Exactly. I think at Hell in a Cell, it's the time to put the title on Bray. Bray's worked so hard on this character, and
think it is too soon for his character?
I mean, it's too soon to lose, so if you're going to put him in that spot, you can't have him lose.
Well, yeah, if you're
going to
put him in a title match, he's not going to lose. Especially with that damn mandible claw. He's not going to lose. He's not going to lose. But I think that would be a good one. And he didn't. he hit Seth with his sister Abigail. And then you know that screeching thing that his music does at the end is just the mandible claw, and you see the lights flickering. That was actually hilarious. I enjoyed that. I still don't like the mask. It still creeps me the hell out, and I hope that they don't make that mask, and because that would be a very scary Halloween costume for all these crazy ass people out here. If I saw that shit in person, I'd probably pee my pants. I'm not even gonna lie. It scares the hell out of me. But that is Clash of Champions. That is our instant analysis. Overall, I thought the show was decent.
Yeah, we got Raw tomorrow. We got SmackDown on Tuesday. We're gonna come back with another episode on Wednesday talking more wrestling.
Now, let's be clear on NXT. We are going to be doing an instant analysis of NXT.
Yes, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes,
NXT,
we will.
NXT, though, is going for the first 2 weeks because they're ending Suits. Suits is in their final season. So NXT is going to be split, as you noted before, between USA and WWE Network. That is just until Suits is done, people. So you mentioned that in our previous episode, but that is the reason why, because they're letting Suits finish up their final season, and then it's actually perfect timing, because then after that, SmackDown's going to be leaving USA Network, so we're going to have Monday, Wednesday, Friday wrestling, and then after that, y'all, I think that we're going to have to do an instant analysis of AEW's first show, because why the hell not?
Agreed.
So that's it. Take us home, Alfonso.
That's it for tonight. Thanks for joining us on our first ever instant analysis show. We're going to try to make these a thing that we do moving forward. And we out of here.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.